Hi.
Hi.
I'm Evan.
I'm Addie.
And you are listening to the Speaking English Podcast, the place to be for anyone who wants to watch more movies or read more books, but doesn't know where to start. Here we are. I'm back again with the master of psychology.
Thanks.
For episode 177. And our first December episode.
Yeah.
Our first normal December, like, yeah, normal episode.
Yeah.
We had a wrap up. And this time around, we watched Torn Curtain, directed by Alfred Hitchcock, another Hitchcock movie.
Yeah. How many have we done for the pod now? Four?
I think three that we've done, but then you watched Notorious.
Right. Okay.
For something else. So I think maybe. Or did you watch five and we both watched four? Because there was the 39 Steps and The Lady Vanishes.
Rebecca.
And Rebecca.
And this. So that's four that we both
watched. Four now. Yeah. Incredible.
Plus I watched Notorious.
Yeah. And they're not the main Hitchcock movies. I feel like
if
these are the only besides Notorious. I think Notorious and Rebecca actually are both in the among the more popular. But wow, five now. But we watched Torn Curtain, and we're here to talk about it. There's a whole lot more on Criterion starting this month with their little Hitchcock for the holidays that people should watch. But we try to find things that neither of us have seen. Mm-hmm. And I've seen like most of Alfred Hitchcock's movies by now. Over half, which is a lot because he made a whole lot.
Yeah, for real.
We'll get into that in just a second. How has your week been, though, in the meantime? Things seem pretty crazy for you.
Days. Yeah, this is my finals week, so it's been pretty hectic and very, very long. Just before we started this, I finished my stats final, which I'd been working on for like a day and a half. It was so hard and it was so stressful, but I really think I did a good job. I turned it in and I was like, I think that was all correct. So that feels really good. I hope I don't get it back. And I'm like, oh my God. Yesterday I had like a 10-page paper that was due. Plus I worked on my stats final all day. And in my downtime, I've been just crocheting Christmas presents like crazy. Like any moment that I'm not working on a final, I'm just crocheting an ornament for somebody.
Nice.
I make so much stuff. So this week's been a lot. I only have one thing left to do school-wise. So that's really nice. And then all of next week, all I'm going to do is crochet and watch movies. And that'll be really nice for me.
And drink hot cocoa.
Yes. Well, I've been doing that too. I'm kind of a fiend for hot cocoa. I drink it all the time.
Nice. I bought a new coffee maker yesterday. I haven't used it today because I was lazy this morning.
But, yeah.
One of them Italian, do you know the one that's like metal and you screw it and that sort of thing?
Yeah.
And that was like here at the apartment. So I've been using that, but it doesn't make enough to drink. I don't know. Like it fills up a relatively small cup and that's usually okay.
As is the Italian way.
But
sometimes
I want to be drinking lots of coffee.
American coffee.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's my Sunday routine is to make a giant pot of coffee and read the new manga that comes out because mm-hmm. the Shonen Jump releases on Sundays. So that's usually what I do. And there's other times where it's just like, I just want to sit down with a giant cup of coffee and enjoy whatever. And it's not worth it to make two things in a row. So I bought a big Italian coffee thing.
Nice.
It makes six cups of coffee. I can make big pots of coffee.
Congratulations.
But the old one also leaked. So.
Oh, yeah, that's an issue.
Which was another problem because then that was even less coffee getting into my cup. I'm really excited about this.
Yeah.
Is that all you wanted to talk about your week?
I kind of cut
you off there.
Oh, no, you're good. I think I was good. All I've been doing is school.
Yeah, I just finished my school week earlier today. So nice. one week more, and then it's my Christmas vacation, and I go back to America for a little bit. This week, I don't have much to report because I hibernated this week. I slept through this entire week.
Good for you, dude. I'm really hoping that's what my next week will be like.
Basically, this usually happens on Monday because I have to wake up really early. And then I go to school and then I come home and I feel really out of it and I just sleep for however long. Mm-hmm. And then usually what happens is that I stay up late because I slept so long and then it like resets my schedule and then it's all mm-hmm. fine from then on. But not this week, because that same thing happened. But then Monday night I was able to fall asleep. And then Tuesday I came home from school and just slept the entire time. And the same thing Wednesday. So this is the first, we're recording now on Thursday, and this is the first day of the week where I haven't taken a 3.5+ hour nap.
Nice.
Upon coming back from school. So
congratulations.
Yeah. I mean, it's been like nice, but this week just went by very fast because I fast traveled through it by just sleeping through the whole thing.
Totally.
So not a whole lot to report on that front. I'm really getting ready to, I need to like actually like pack and get ready. Think of the things I'm going to take back home, that I don't need here anymore and that sort of thing. I'm like excited for it. I'm going to try to do some stuff this weekend, to hang out with some friends here. Nice. And then, I'll be back. I'll be hitting the road come Saturday, the 23rd. So.
So exciting.
It's right around the corner. And I'll be drinking my new coffee all this week.
Delish.
Since the coffee mugs that were here already, I think are like the size to be drinking out of the original thing, I'm probably going to try to bring a mug back with me.
Oh, nice.
A big mug for my big cups mug of coffee. I'm so excited. Cool. Yeah. So there was no mailbag entries, additions this week. But I did have something I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
To kind of fill this space. I think maybe we should do a little something in this area, even if there is no mailbag entries.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But I can't believe I forgot that we watched Rebecca, because this is tangentially related to Rebecca. Is that earlier this week, or last week, I guess by now, I watched The Age of Innocence, Martin Scorsese picture, based off of The Age of Innocence, the book by Edith Wharton.
Mm-hmm.
Which, as our long-term listeners may remember, I didn't like. I talked about it in some wrap-up sometime, and I really didn't like this book, even though that most people say that it is good. So, but The Age of Innocence was a movie that I very thoroughly enjoyed. So I think it did for me what Rebecca, the Hitchcock movie, did for you, in that.
Oh, yes.
The movie was like, did so well, and it made me like rethink a little bit about what I thought about the book and maybe enjoy the book even more.
I love that.
Which I thought was super interesting.
It is. But
The Age of Innocence was so good.
I'm glad to hear it.
It's weird that Martin Scorsese made it. Not really, but like...
You don't like Martin Scorsese?
Huh? No, it's just very different from the kinds of movies that he usually
it's
makes.
It's really good. It's shocking that Martin Scorsese
all people. No. I meant that in the fact of like subject matter, because I think this might have been directly after Goodfellas.
Okay.
It's quite a different one. It's quite a... there's so much... As you like to say, there's so much pining and yearning in this one.
I do like to say that.
It's a picture chock full of both pining and yearning.
I need to watch it then.
Yeah, I think you'd really like it. And then also, this is another thing that I was thinking about movies with pining and yearning, because it reminded me a lot of In the Mood for Love, which is the most piney, yearny movie ever. So I think you definitely need to watch In the Mood for Love.
Yes.
You'd really like it.
Okay. I'm putting it on my Letterboxd right now. I had In the Mood for Love on my watch list on Letterboxd. And I forget. I gotta get off.
Maybe you should just remember and then watch it.
Maybe.
Yeah. So I'll probably wait till the wrap up and talk more about The Age of Innocence, but
okay.
It just felt right to group it together with Rebecca, because I think it was the same experience that we had, where it's like the movie was so good that it was like, you know what? Maybe I was too harsh on what the book was doing.
I'm glad to hear that.
Rebecca was directed by Alfred Hitchcock. Another movie that was directed by Alfred Hitchcock, Torn Curtain, our movie of the week for this week that we checked out. A little bit to introduce this one. I may have mentioned at least 10 times over the years on this podcast that I took a class that centered on Alfred Hitchcock, and specifically on his American period, his Hollywood period, beginning when he first came to America and started working in the Hollywood system. And it actually ended with Marnie, which was the last movie that we watched, which the professor in that class said was his last, like, masterpiece or great, great movie. I personally thought Marnie wasn't that good. So maybe we could have ended it a week early. We could have just called the class a week early. But I bring this up because, so that's according to that professor that I had in that class, that's the cutoff. That's the Hitchcock that needs to be seen is cut off there.
Okay.
After Marnie, there were four more features.
Okay.
This one, Torn Curtain. After that was Topaz, which is like pretty widely considered to be really bad.
Okay.
And then Frenzy, which is generally considered to be pretty good.
Okay.
And then Family Plot, which is generally considered to be the last one.
That's it.
So then the question is, what do we make of Torn Curtain? And I was curious, and I wanted to watch this one for this week, because we left off the last episode of not knowing exactly what we would watch, but that it would be a Hitchcock movie available on the Criterion Channel this month for their Hitchcock for the Holidays kind of thing. So I was really intrigued by this one. It stars Paul Newman and Julie Andrews, which is crazy. I don't know why.
It's crazy.
It's crazy to me. And it's set in the Cold War. That's all I'll say for now. But what did you think of this one overall?
To be honest, I did not like it. It did not do anything for me. I was really bored. I guess I liked the first half better than the second half. And there's a scene in kind of the middle of the movie where you witness a very slow murder. And that's a real standout scene for me, honestly. Watching that one, I was like, man, that was crazy. That one will be very memorable. But aside from that scene, I just was bored. It just felt like it had nothing to say. And like, as a spy thriller, the intrigue and the suspense was so low. Just like, that's kind of the whole point of a spy thriller is the intrigue. And it just didn't really have any. And this sort of like sub story of the romance between Julie Andrews and Paul Newman, so lame, really just did absolutely nothing. They just had no chemistry together to me. And even though like the acting I think was good, I think the only other movie that I've ever seen Paul Newman in is Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And he was born to play a cowboy. Seeing him in this role was like off-putting. I wish that they hadn't cast him in this role. He should be a cowboy. I love Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and I did not love this movie at all. So yeah, those are my thoughts. What about you?
Come to think of it, This is the second movie that I've seen where Paul Newman plays a scientist.
Wow. What's the first?
Oh, no, never mind. Sorry. Okay. In The Prize, he's a novelist in that one, but he's winning the Nobel Prize and he meets scientists in that movie.
That's cool.
So he wasn't the scientist in that one. My bad. This one didn't really impress me. I wasn't a huge fan of it. Which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some interesting things. There's a scene in this one that is copied, stolen, some would say, from this one and placed in the Grand Budapest Hotel, which is my favorite movie ever. Which is part of like the appeal, because I knew that. I watched like a little video essay about it beforehand. So I was very interested to see like that one. And I mean, not that it's a throwaway scene in this one. I think it's done well, but it wasn't very impactful in the wider scope of the movie. And, you know, come to think of it, what really was?
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing with this one. It felt overlong. And I think the biggest thing that I would say is that it wasn't taut like Hitchcock thrillers normally are.
Okay.
That's the word that came to mind. Mm-hmm. T-A-U-T. And I think that's something that I've noticed is that a lot of the best Hitchcock movies, and I would say most of his movies, and that's probably why they're so good and so watchable today for the most part, is because there's always that sense of intrigue, that danger that keeps it going.
Yeah. And there just wasn't in this.
And it's weird because there was danger for them, but it just didn't. Sure. Come across as the audience. I didn't feel
me neither
that crazy about it. Like, I was like, okay. And I think part of that is that it drags on for a while.
Yes.
But I did find it. I found this one to be tedious, which is something that I probably haven't said about an Alfred Hitchcock movie before, except for his silent movies, because some of his silent movies are pretty bad. which was like kind of surprising. So, but yeah, I agree that the romance plot and the intrigue there didn't really hold up its weight. They didn't have much chemistry, and also like what are you supposed to latch on to? I guess I would say, because
and it was so like off-putting to me too. Like, they're sort of they're like dynamic, I guess. Like, she, when she thinks that Paul Newman is a traitor in this country, after like one day, she's like, you know what? I'll do that too. I'll just commit a very serious crime. I'll just join you. I do not care. I was like, okay, well, that's pretty weird. Like, what was that? Her character was just bizarre to me.
Yeah. And I think like a lot of the moments also where you get like to spend time with her, maybe.
Yeah.
And you get her reactions to stuff and not knowing. It's like,
Yeah, right.
Because it's really played up, you know, I think for the first half. And the first half, I think, was a lot more interesting of a movie, but I think maybe the second half was executed better as far as like sequences. They just didn't have the weight of like actual tension on their shoulders, I would say. But like, I thought the whole first part where you don't really know what's going on, I was intrigued then. And once you figured out like, oh, this is it. This is what's happening.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. Whatever.
Oh, okay.
I just think if you take this one and compare it to Notorious, which came out 20 years earlier.
Yeah.
Deals with kind of similar themes not themes maybe, but like similar circumstances. They're both spy movies that center on like a romance at the middle and kind of how the romance interacts with the spy shenanigans. And how much more interesting Notorious was.
Seriously.
Not to mention like how often cited it is. Notorious. Like there's so many things that I've seen since watching it that was like, oh, this is like what happens in Notorious. where you have to deal with like love versus the mission, and is it a betrayal if I part of the mission is to love another man?
Right. It's an interesting concept that this movie just did poorly.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what it is at the center of it, is like you have this romance which maybe isn't played up, but that's you need that at the center, otherwise it's just a guy and a like trying to get away from the secret police, like
just some dude.
But the romance didn't add anything. There wasn't any dynamic, any conflict. There was just based off of like not understanding once she was told, because he didn't tell her at first because he didn't want to get her in more danger. And then when he gets in enough danger that they're both in danger and she needs to know, then he tells her. And then she's like, okay, now we just need to get away.
Yeah.
there's no like turns and twists there. And there was nothing about it that, like added anything to what was going on. So
I completely agree.
Yeah, I mean, I'll rant about this more in a second that I didn't really like it, but I wanted to touch on the point you said about the gruesome death, which I thought was also like a very standout kind of scene for me. And I think that this is something that Hitchcock leaned further into in his later career movies, because I think there's as far as what I know, there's a couple, at least one like pretty gruesome death scene in Frenzy as well. And I think Frenzy in general is like considered more violent, like visibly violent on screen, compared to a lot of his other stuff. And I think that's interesting because as a whole, this one as well, I would say, kind of tried to be more grounded, more realism, maybe naturalistic. But I think in doing that, it lost a lot of the charm and appeal of a spy movie.
Yeah.
Because I think if you look at it at the world, at face value, spy activities, espionage, isn't that interesting. I think in the movies it's played up, and that's what makes it so fun. But a lot of this just felt really tedious, and I don't know why that is.
I really, really agree. Have you seen Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid?
Yes, I did, but it was
so good
a while ago. Yeah. I watched it in Film as Lit in high school.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Paul Newman be just like so boring and void in this movie. It was just like such a sad juxtaposition to the Paul Newman that I know and love, which is Butch Cassidy.
Butch Cassidy. Or Cool Hand Luke.
Oh, I have seen that movie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Did you like that one?
I actually watched in Film as Lit.
Okay. I also think I watched that one in Film as Lit.
Oh, that's funny.
I know about Paul Newman is thanks to Film as Lit. Not actually, but... there's something... Oh, the what did you think of the extended, prolonged chase of this second half of this movie?
I hated it. It got so boring to me. And the one kind of like lady who was there with them and was really stressed the whole time was very irritating.
The Polish countess lady.
Yeah.
Actually, I was going to say something about that because that just felt so random and out of place.
I know.
Like, dragged the runtime so much.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was like annoying to me because I checked to see how much time was left and I was like, do we really need to be spending this here?
Right?
Because I thought the stuff on the bus could have been cool if it was, if it like took less time, maybe like less effort, energy was expended on it. The lady on the bus was also, there was like certain characters that just pissed me off. Like when they're on screen, there was the lady on the bus that was just complaining the whole time. And then the ballerina lady that was just such a narc. Like, come on. That was so annoying to me.
Honestly, like most of them kind of pissed me off.
Yeah. Maybe I'm talking about it more and I'm realizing that I really just didn't like this movie.
Me neither. It was not good.
I don't know how much more I want to dwell on it then in that case.
I know.
Because I think there's more to talk about also. Also, sorry, but I'm looking, like scrolling through the letterbox. The lady who played the Countess is the third billed character. That's so odd. I wonder if she was like famous. I don't know. There is like a specific scene. Well, there are a couple more things I want to touch on with this movie. There is the scene that they used in the art museum that, or just the museum, I don't know, that they copied in Grand Budapest Hotel. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't think so.
Okay, so this is one of my I think it was honestly done probably a bit better in the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Okay.
That's just like my favorite movie, so I'm sure I would feel that way. Where Deputy Kovacs is chased down and killed is like the same as this one. He's okay. On the like the train. He sees the guy in the motorcycle that follows him. They go to the museum and you get the like the shots of each one kind of wandering through.
Yes. Okay.
And then eventually he leaves.
I would not have noticed that if you hadn't pointed it out.
Oh, like
that.
It's yeah.
The same scene. Maybe if I had seen Grand Budapest more recently, I don't know.
It's like shot for shot at the beginning.
Cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know why though. They never explained how he was like he did that to, you know, shake his tail or whatever.
Yeah.
But then he still found him. Why? How? Like, how did he get there? What was the point? What was the point of that scene if he didn't shake him? If he still found him right after?
Great question, dude.
Because it's a long, like a lot of time is spent on it. But I don't know.
I don't know either. I just don't think that I like got this movie. that it's for me.
I don't know if there is anything there to get though, is the thing for me. There's another scene that kind of pissed me off where, I don't know. It was interesting enough to bring up is that where he's getting the secret from the professor. And he's just like writing on the board some formula. Yeah. And then he's like, let me write this down.
Why did that piss you off?
It didn't piss me off. It was just such a weird moment that I think like was interesting. Like I'm remembering it because it's an interesting way to do it. But like, you already know that they're writing complete nonsense. Like there's nothing about this, like at all related to, it's like the MacGuffin. Which is a turn, yeah. And I don't know how to explain about this scene. It was interesting to watch because you get to see like how he's kind of throwing him the line of like being obviously wrong, and he just gets more mad about it and explains it all to him. But there was also just something that was odd about it to me. The way that it was played out with them like writing stuff. On the chalkboard. But that's not how that sort of thing works, right? Like, I know I don't want to kill the fun out of it because I think that that can get really annoying, but just something about it in this one just felt very off to me. Like the amount of time that you just are sitting there, just seeing them write stuff on the board.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's not, it's never, they never explain what's going on because there's no way that you can actually say that this is how it would work in I feel like I'm talking complete nonsense right now. I can't find the words to describe.
I think I'm understanding.
I did really like the idea of like getting this information in an interesting way. And I thought that it was cool that you can kind of see the subtext of like, he's like baiting him in this way.
Sure.
But the way that it was executed just felt like, I don't know, weird to me, but I can't. I know why, but like I can't articulate it in words.
Yeah.
Right now for whatever reason, but
I think I agree, but I also don't really know how to put it into words. And also at that point when that came up in the movie, I was pretty mentally checked out. It's kind of like I just don't like this.
Yeah, I lost interest like fairly early.
Yeah, me too.
Which is quite surprising. And
I really expected to like it quite a bit, honestly. Like, I like Alfred Hitchcock. I like what we've watched so far, except for The Lady Vanishes.
Yeah. Oh, The Lady Vanishes was a lot better than this one, though.
Me too. That was so surprising to me. I really went into it like, I'm sure I'll like it more than The Lady Vanishes. An Alfred Hitchcock movie with Paul Newman, Butch Cassidy, who I love. Sounds great. I like a spy thriller. And then, yeah, it just really missed the mark.
Yeah. I don't know if I was... I didn't really know what to think because I had heard... I have seen reviews that said that it was pretty good. And some that said it was pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And I was just very intrigued to see what I would think about it because I think it was the one that I was the least sure about of his late career movies. Mm-hmm. Because I've mentioned this before, but I kind of go more off of what the people I follow on Letterboxd say.
Sure.
And this was an interesting one where the average rating was pretty low, but a lot of the people that I follow did like this one. So
interesting.
I don't know. It was interesting, but I ended up giving this one a 5 out of 10. Which I thought was maybe a little harsh, but the more I'm thinking about it and talking about it, that feels about right.
I was initially going to give it a 6 out of 10, but I think I will drive it to a 5 now that we've had this conversation. it wasn't very, I wouldn't really recommend it.
Yeah, I would definitely not recommend it because there are so many more better Alfred Hitchcock movies.
Mm-hmm.
I would hate for someone to be introduced to Hitchcock with this one because there are so many of his earlier movies that are so much more modern seeming, more like interesting to a current day viewer, which I think is pretty crazy to me. If anything, it's also a testament to how well his best is, how good his best is, and how well he is able to kind of craft these. This one definitely missed the mark and it didn't have the same magic that a lot of the other ones did. So
I think it's really, really time that I watch more of the classics.
Mm. Rear Window and Vertigo on Criterion. Check both of those out. Those are my two favorites. But
I have seen Rear Window and I love Rear Window. Okay. Yeah, Rear Window is really good. But
Yes, you talked about it on a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna look and see the ones that I would recommend from the movies that are on the Criterion channel, their collection.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna quickly go through and say the ones out of those that I think everyone should watch, and that includes you.
Okay. And you are not exempt.
You are not exempt. Okay, so if there is one silent movie that you should watch that Hitchcock did, it would be called The Lodger.
Okay.
The Lodger, A Story of the London Fog. In my opinion, that's the only Well, out of what I've seen, that's only Silent Wind that's actually quite good.
Okay.
In addition to that, the original, The Man Who Knew Too Much, I think is fun. It's pretty good. The 39 Steps, I think, is the best of his British movies, watched for our first ever movie episode and our second ever episode total.
It has such a special place in my heart because of that.
Yeah. and that one's quite good. But I think that's the best of his British movies. Add to that Shadow of a Doubt, which I think is quite a fun one. It's I would classify Shadow of a Doubt as a noir picture. Rope is one that a lot of people really like. I'm not super huge on it, but I think that people like it, so I would say check it out too. see what you think about it. And I've only seen it one time, so maybe on a rewatch I'd like it more. Rear Window.
Duh.
If you watch only one, I would say watch Rear Window. That's like my favorite of his, and I think it's also probably the most accessible. It was the first Hitchcock movie that I ever watched also. And Vertigo and The Birds are the ones that I would recommend.
I really want to watch North by Northwest.
North by Northwest is also awesome, but okay. It is not on the Criterion Collection.
Gotcha.
The Criterion Channel right now. But yeah, I would definitely recommend that one too. North by Northwest is just like the 39 Steps, but updated for the times and American with American landmarks.
I really liked the 39 Steps, so I think I'd like that one even more. And also, my dad recommended that movie to me, and he has a 100% success rate with with movies that he recommends to me. Like, he really understands what I will like.
Unlike
some people I know.
You said you watched the 39 Steps and said, this is nice, but what if there weren't British people?
Literally. God, I wish I could watch this without British accents. And Hitchcock was like, okay.
Yeah. The North by Northwest is everything that this movie isn't, but wishes it was.
Nice.
By this movie, I mean Torn Curtain.
Right.
Rear Window and Vertigo are my two favorite-ist, and they're both part of this collection, so... those are the two that
maybe it's time for me to finally watch Vertigo.
I think you should.
I think I should too.
I do have a recommendation for what we should watch for next week.
Okay.
But I would say before you watch this one, watch Vertigo.
Okay.
Because I found a list on Letterboxd that was like alternative Christmas movies, like movies that aren't specifically like Christmas movies, but kind of still are. And I found this movie called Belle, Book, and Candle, which came out the same year as Vertigo, starring the two same leads as Vertigo.
Crazy.
And is about a witch who tries to hex a man. It seems like the perfect movie to watch for this time of year and for us.
Yeah, for us.
But it basically seems like the plot of I Married a Witch, but not as much of a straight comedy.
I'm so down.
I think you should watch Vertigo before this one because this came out like directly after it. So people had seen these two leads in Vertigo and then this movie came out, as far as I can tell.
Gotcha.
And I think that would be an interesting talking point regarding it.
Okay. I can handle that. Because next week I'm off, dude.
Yeah, you're done with school.
Except a lot of crochet. And I like to watch movies while I crochet, so that'd be perfect.
Nice. Belle, Book, and Candle, directed by Richard Quinn. Or Richard Quine. It's spelled Q-U-I-N-E.
Yeah, I would guess Quine.
That's a suspiciously British sounding name, I have to admit. It
better not be a British movie.
Well, I mean, both of the lead actors are American, so.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm really curious about this one. This is another one that has like relatively poor reviews, but are like back and forth with the people that I follow on Letterboxd. Some of them say that it's good. Some say that it's average. Some say that it's bad. So I'm just curious about it. I think it'll be fun. Yeah, I think it'll just be a fun one.
I'm totally down to give it a try.
We got to have fun on here every once in a while.
We love to have fun.
I was looking through Koreeda, Hirokazu Koreeda movies, and just kind of browsing around, looking through. I looked on Nobody Knows, and your whole review on Nobody Knows was about how we watched like Charlie's Angels.
Yeah.
we can only have fun like once every like 2 months, and then we go back to
It's true.
Torn Curtain wasn't necessarily sad, but it wasn't quite fun either.
That's very true. It was very, very bland.
It just wasn't. I thought it would be a lot more fun because I'm so used to having so much fun watching Alfred Hitchcock movies.
Yeah.
So now I'm disappointed, and I want the fun factor to come back.
Same.
Hopefully Bell, Book, and Candle can satisfy that.
I'm down to give it a try.
Yeah.
It's about a witch, so I'll have fun. Yeah. Guaranteed.
Cool. So yeah, we can do that for next week. And then I think we'll probably just be into Christmas special. And then, because we usually do the December wrap up before the end of the year, because we always do our New Year's bash.
Yes.
I'm excited about. And then, so I think early January for the book club, which is Kindred by Octavia Butler.
Yeah.
All right. I still haven't gotten it yet. This is one of the things that I was trying to do this week, but then I slept the entire week. So I haven't quite gotten it done yet.
That's totally fine.
But yeah, so hopefully like mid-January, whenever the Oscars nominations come out, we will also do the Shiners nominations. And I think that is also in January at some time.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And that's our plans.
Great plans.
Yeah, it kind of works out pretty good. We got the future lined up.
Yeah, true.
So yeah, check out Bell, Book, and Candle. This one is also on the Criterion channel for next week. So also, if anyone wants to do a double feature of Vertigo, you know what? I might do that too. And we can talk about both a little bit.
Okay, great.
I'll do a double feature. Maybe not in the same night, but I'll watch both of them before the episode. Vertigo and Bell, Book, and Candle.
Excellent.
Yeah, and that'll be for next week. Please, in the mailbag, let us know what or if any movies made you like a book better, what that would be. Because now we both have an answer of our own question. So
it's a really, I think, interesting question.
Yeah. It makes you believe in the power of cinema.
So true.
There's also a thing about book. Like, I went to make a list of movies that I think are better than the books that they're based off of.
Okay.
So maybe I'll undertake that at some point, but just an idea that I want to keep in mind. So I'm putting it on record here.
The only movie that came to mind that I think is better than the book is The Shining. Oh, and The Wolf of Wall Street. That book is not very good. The movie's fantastic.
Nice. Mine right now is The Age of Innocence. I'm sure I'll hold that opinion even if I was to reread the book. Edith Wharton can go kick rocks. for all there. Okay, so that means all that is left to do for this time around is to recommend an album. Do you have an album to recommend for this week?
Yeah, Pink Friday 2 by Nicki Minaj. It just came out and it's so much fun. I've seen kind of a bit of criticism of this album. A lot of people saying that it has way too many samples, which is objectively true. Also, I just do not care. I really don't care at all. That's not an issue for me because it's just so fun. The samples that she chose are hilarious. Every time I listened to the album all the way through and every time a new one started, I was like, no way. Why did she sample this? It's so funny to me. I've seen some people calling it like nostalgia bait too, which is a phrase that I had never heard until I was looking at people's reviews of this album. And I see that. I see where you're coming from. And again, I don't care. It's just such a funny, like, good time of an album. And I am so happy that she made it and that it exists. Like, I don't know. She is just a very funny person. And her lyrics, she's just so talented. She's just fan. I love Nicki Minaj. She is fantastic. I love Pink Friday too. But I will say, probably my favorite songs on the albums are ones that don't feature samples. So keep that in mind, I guess. I don't really know what that says. But my absolute favorite on it is Big Difference. It rocks. Yeah. If you have not listened to Big Difference by Nicki Minaj, at least 15 times this week since it came out, get on it, dude. It's so good.
You can always count on Nicki Minaj to bring the fun factor, even when Alfred Hitchcock comes up short.
That's so true. Nicki Minaj is never going to let me down on the fun factor.
Incredible. I went with something different for my album this week. It's Marquee Moon by Television. I picked this one because the last song on this album is called Torn Curtain.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't know if it has any relation to the movie, but this album came out after the movie did. So who's to say?
Who is to say?
But this album's so good.
Nice.
I love it.
Yeah.
I don't know what else I can say about it. It's a classic. It's one that I think everyone should listen to. And it's just very iconic.
Awesome.
It's one of those albums that I think explains a lot about me. Like, maybe not explains a lot, but like if it's one that if I was to introduce myself to someone and be like, oh, what kind of music do you like? You're like, this would be one of the ones I would say, listen to this and you'll get an idea of who I am. Maybe. I don't know, but that seems right. So I'd put it that way. No,
totally.
But yeah, in any case, go check it out. Go check out both of them. And
yes.
Cue up one song of each, like switch between the two and just listen to them at the same time.
To really get the vibe.
That would be crazy.
That would be so crazy.
Yeah. So that's all we have for this week. Thanks for nothing, Alfred Hitchcock.
Redeem yourself, Alfred Hitchcock.
So, yeah, I definitely have to watch Vertigo for next week. but yeah, we did do Torn Curtain. My professor was right all along.
I hate it when that happens.
We'll be back next week with Bell, Book, and Candle. And maybe a bit about Vertigo as well.
Nice.
I can already tell we're going to talk about Vertigo for like at least half of the time allocated.
Great.
But yeah, that'll be next week. And then we'll have our normal end of December to New Year kind of programming, which I'm really excited about. Is always
tons. Yeehaw. Of
fun. And yeah, big things to come.
Big.
So thanks everyone for listening. Please put whatever in the mailbag. But if you want a specific prompt, we're asking about movies that you think that have changed your opinions on the books they're based off of.
Yes.
Which is, I think, is a really fun question.
I think so too.
But just put whatever in the mailbag. We'd love to hear from you. And in any case, thanks for listening. And we'll catch you next time around.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye now.